All right, everybody, welcome to episode 287 of the 9 News podcast. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deacons. We shall shortly be reviewing our two fixtures, our first two games under the stewardship of Mark Bowen. We'll be looking ahead to Saturday's fixture with Milton Keynes and everything that comes with it, and also looking at the overall picture at the foot of League One, because as it stands, after 1 point from our last six, we are 4 points from safety in the division. Stu, I'm going to say a consistent theme over the past few seasons when we talk about why we've not won games, why we've lost games, where we've gone wrong. So many occasions, more so this season than ever, individual errors. We get punished for them all the time. And we'll talk about Sheffield Wednesday in a minute, even though, as we say, we lost it, and we lost it in injury time, but we didn't expect to get anything from that fixture. But Tuesday night, honestly, after the first 15 minutes when we just forgot we actually had to play football, after that, Charlton were offered nothing, showed nothing. Second half, they had one shot on goal. And they score with it. And it just comes from individual errors, doesn't it? And you don't want to single out people, but you've got Paul Osu chasing down the wing. Just bring him down. Show a bit of nous that other teams do. And then again, for the umpteenth time this season, we don't defend a cross into the box.
Yeah. It was a weird one, wasn't it? They went down to 10 men. People have been in the game long enough know that you need to get, you know, pass. You know, you've got half an hour. They're going to, you know, if they're chasing the ball, they're using more energy than you, and you're going to more likely open them up. We weren't going to open them up through the middle because we just didn't have the physicality and the size. So the wide areas were it. And with Paul Osu, he just got himself with the ball, and he tried to take on one-on-one. I just didn't think we needed to do that. We just needed to have the confidence to play the balls into the middle and switch and all that sort of side of it. And in the end, he tries to knock it past him, gets intercepted, and he's, you know, one-on-one chase. Don't get me wrong, to be fair, Paul Osu's quick, and he was keeping up with him. But it was like, the only time he actually went for the tackle and such was actually to try and block the cross, which is too late. And I suppose your argument could be with Paul Osu, who looked, to be fair to him, when he got substituted, looked distraught, bless him, and he had head in his hands and stuff like that. I suppose you sort of sit there thinking it's got to be a hell of a cross to, you know, one against three, but we just didn't defend it. But take the yellow card. You know, I'm sure, you know, if it was turned round, the Charlton defender would have taken a yellow card.
We saw it in the second half.
You're right, of course.
And I think it was Purrington.
Was it? I forgot he was playing.
I think he injured himself in doing it. Yeah. But he took out a Sal, got a booking for it. So, you're right.
But I think that's what it was. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it wouldn't have been a red card. Just tap his ankles. Do you know what I mean? Take the card. But that just comes back. I suppose it's individual mistakes, but I think it also comes back to naivety. It is simple. You know, look at if you look at the two teams on Tuesday night, you had a very experienced team against a naive team, young team. Mm. Tell me that they didn't do all, like, how much they wasted time. Amazingly wasted time on everything. Even to the extent that Johnny Jackson on the bench at one point deliberately got himself in trouble to slow the game down.
Just to break the game up.
You could see what he was doing. Even the manager was doing it on the bench. And it's just those things. You know, Charlton tried to do it. Even though they're down to 10 men, fouls, talking to a referee, deliberately putting the ball in the wrong spot. All the stuff, all the dark arts that we just don't do. You know, and even though, yes, you know, we were obviously going for the win on Tuesday, the dark arts would have been late on in the Sheffield Wednesday game. But we didn't do it. We allowed it to be a free-flowing, and then we got done at the end.
inexperience, average age of the team that started. I've not done the average age of the team that finished. I have to double check the subs. Average age of the team that started on Tuesday night was 23.
Yeah.
And I know that people say that there's a bit of a myth about how young our squad is, but I don't see a myth there. I see Asal 20, Zach Robinson 19, Henry Lawrence 20, Rodoni 21. These are young players. And we have to. I don't think it's an excuse to say that. I think people see when you mention it, people think it's a bit of an excuse, and they say, well, actually, we've got Woodyard, who's like, what, 29, Hennigan's in there, and they're saying, look, we're not a team full of kids. Well, actually, okay, kids might be a bit exaggerated, but 23 is very young, very, very young.
Yeah, and we've got nobody over 30. You know, the only player we did have, we sold him in January. So in terms of, there isn't what you would call, and it's different how you measure, I suppose the kids thing, you know, if you say they're just kids, well, kids could be anything from 12, 13, 14, do you know what I mean? But in terms of football...
What was that? No, kids could be anything from 13, 14.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you say, oh, we've got kids, it's
a bit more age ranges than that, are they?
Yeah, probably. But what I mean is in football, you know, if you think about 35, 36 is classed as old in football.
Ridiculous.
Terms. Yeah. It's not, but in the football world, it's old, you know, it's yes, a short yeah. career. So yeah. when we say kids, I think what we mean is basically from 18 onwards, we might have put them at zero, you know, age zero. And then, you know, they're also not physically formed at that age. So we know, if we look at Jack Rodoni, for example, when he came into the team, two, 3 years ago, looked like a drain pipe, nothing of him. But look at him now. You know, people say he's learned how to header. Yes, he has. But he only does that also because he's physically he's able to hold off and get into there. And do you know what I mean? So I think, yeah, some people say it's a myth. It's not as such. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of just in terms of their football. And also, we shouldn't be playing 40 games a season. Not at this age. Do you know what I mean? Because his body is still growing, and actually he needs to dip in and out, because it's not so much it's not naivety, but I know we're going to come on to it, but people say they looked apprehensive, and actually Mark Bowen has said that they looked edgy and passive. But let's not forget, the end of the last game against Cambridge, they got booed off the pitch.
Yeah.
That's a lot to deal with as a young player. So was it any surprise that we started the game scared of our own shadow and not making that pass? Because actually, they're not stupid. They remember what the reaction was like at the end of Cambridge, which is why I said it ages ago. That is just counterproductive, and I still believe that.
And you make the point as well, Paul Asu looking a bit upset as he came off. Again, 21-year-old. Think about what I was like when I was 21, when you were 21, anyone listening when you were 21.
I was pissed most of the time, to be fair.
Well, I mean, not much has changed there, but like, it just shows you, look what the position he's in at that age, and think about how you would cope in that situation and try and judge it against that. And also, you talk about the physical side of it, physicality of young men. Your brain doesn't actually fully develop until you're 25. I think this is another thing. And people are going to start thinking, oh, could you make excuses for them? It's not that. It's just, I think, and I'm one that I must admit to you know what I'm like with all the data and the science that goes into football now. I think it is a little bit overplayed at times, but it's worth making the point. We are in an age of real scientific evaluation of everything. Well, we should, perhaps not in everything. 2 + 2 = 4, everyone. But yeah, brains aren't fully developed, and the psychology that goes with that as well, which I think we have to take into account when we are dealing, as you say, against more experienced teams, more experienced players. They're not playing against teams of their own age. They're playing very experienced people.
It's massive pressure, isn't it? And, you know, we have, officially 8,000, it'll look less than that.
It was less than that. Yeah. Honestly,
I'm being generous.
If people want to talk about myths, I'll tell you the myths of our attendance figures this season.
But is it, you know, I was, because Lyle, dropped his name in already, haven't I? Lara Taylor was obviously with us on Tuesday night for the 9 years TV, and Lara was just asking me general questions about how much this hold, what's your record, you know, what's the highest attendance, of course. And I was like, well, apparently it's about 8,000 here tonight, but as you can see over in the East End, I was like going, well, that's a lot of a family stand, so they're probably too young, they're probably in bed, making excuses. And I was like, then I said, to be honest with you, mate, I was like, they're voting with their feet. We haven't won, we've won two home games, and they were before Christmas. So, you know, people won't. People are, yeah. But what do you reckon I was there then? Seven, 6.5?
I mean, I guess I'd be speculating if I was to give it a figure, but it wasn't 8,000. It really wasn't. We're sat in the West Stand. The East Stand looks, I reckon you could easily put everyone that was sat in the East Stand on Tuesday night into half of the stand. There were so many empty seats in there.
Yeah.
Behind the goal, there were gaps, which you don't normally see, towards the front. And around me in the West Stand, loads, absolutely loads. Block 107 I'm in, and you can see so many. It was one of those where I knew there was a bit of traffic problems, but when I got to the ground, I was like, why is there so few people here for a sellout? I thought maybe some late runners or late comers, but no. But you make the point, dealing with the issue is the young players dealing with the crowd, and had the bad experience against Cambridge where we really went into our shells. And in fairness, we didn't do that on Tuesday night. In the end, we kept plugging away. Yes, we had the man advantage. Charlton, the frustration is, for me, I think Charlton were not great, for being honest, despite the quality, evident quality they had in terms of some of the names on the team sheet. And we can, well, actually, let's make that point now, because we were talking about the inexperience of our squad and the age of our squad. But the other flip side to this, and we talked about the experience of other teams, but also what they have is players that can come on and cause us problems. And you mentioned the Sheffield Wednesday game. Perhaps we had the inexperience of not mastering the dark arts and taking times over throw-ins and dropping injured, maybe breaking the game up, all this sort of thing. Flip side of that is Sheffield Wednesday bring on, was it Patterson? Big lump up top.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their game plan is just chuck everything at him, and he's towering over everyone. He wins the header that then leads to the winning goal. And it's like, that. There's your difference. And to echo that point, what happens on Tuesday night? They have a man sent off. What do? They keep their two strikers on. They keep two up top. And who are those two? Jaden Stockley and Connor Washington. I mean, different levels.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, I suppose, when you get promoted, right? They always say when you get promoted, the level, you don't get. I think you were saying a bit earlier about being punished for your mistakes and stuff. And they normally say when you get promoted, the thing you notice the difference is that you get punished for your mistakes more than you did in the lower league. And whilst I know that we didn't get promoted, I would argue that I think the League One is probably one of the most difficult. People said to me the quality is not great. I disagree with that. I think if you look at the standard of teams and the players they have, I think one week you said to me, look at the goal scorers in the league this year.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You look at Wickham. Wickham have got, you know.
You've got Sam Vokes.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, and this isn't about making excuses. It's being realistic. You know, Sheffield Wednesday, as you said, Barry Bannon shouldn't be in this division. Shouldn't be in this division. But then they can also bring on Berino. All right, I know he's been out of the game for a little while. We can't do that. And I think, so whilst I think it has got tougher for us, because I think we are getting punished more on this mistake. I was saying this to my brother-in-law there on Tuesday, and we were chatting. I was like, Charlton coming down here, that would have been a big game last season. These are sitting in mid-table. Yeah. You know, Pompey used to dominate this division. How many times do we, Pompey coming down to town, or Luton, no disrespect. Pompey always are,
disrespectful?
Well, because they're not really a big team. I'm joking. But what I mean by that is we used to say about Pompey. Pompey fans always boast about how many fans they take. If I'm being honest with you, Pompey coming down to us isn't as big as when Sheffield Wednesday come down to us, or when Sunderland come down to us.
Ipswich.
Yeah. So this is the argument, isn't it? You know, this division, and I've heard it, like people, this division isn't as strong. I totally disagree. What I would say is there's some teams that are not as strong. And if you look at maybe, I don't know what Charlton's sitting. I think Charlton was sitting at something like
15th.
Yeah, 15th. So I suppose if you look from 16th downwards, yeah, okay. Your Morecambe's crew, Doncaster, Shrewsbury, Cheltenham, you know,
Lincoln,
but Burton. Yeah, maybe they are. They're not. You know, they're not as strong. But then you know, I think you did one of your analysis, didn't you, in terms of our results against those teams down the bottom, was quite healthy.
Yeah, we're unbeaten against the other teams in the bottom six.
Yeah, so if you look at strength of that, actually, we're not struggling against that. What we have struggled is obviously picking up points where maybe those teams have picked up points against the bigger teams, and we haven't done that. We obviously haven't done that because we haven't won in 23 games on that side of it. So I think that's where it is, but it's a really tough division, and you're right. We get punished for one error, and then we're chasing the game. And Sheffield Wednesday again. Barry Bannon can't get anywhere near the... it's just ridiculous. It's unfair. It's like someone's got a cheat. It's like playing football manager. Someone's got a cheat, and they bought in the player that shouldn't be in that division by any stretch.
Very, very quick analysis, as you mentioned that. And if we look at the top five in the division, and the reason I say this is because I looked at our record against the other teams in the bottom six, of which there are five other teams. So it's only fair for a comparison to look at the top five.
Yeah.
And this is very quick maths here, but I think we've played nine, so 9 games. So a possible 27 points against the teams in the top five. How many points have we picked up this season?
I would say, well, I know Oxford are in there, so you probably look at five.
Oxford aren't in there. Oxford aren't in there.
Oh, they are. Maybe they weren't when... Oh, okay. My box was fifth. Have I got it wrong? I'll still go with 5 points.
One.
Wow. And that was
awesome. Two defeats to Wigan without scoring. A defeat to Milton Keynes without scoring. Two defeats to Rotherham without scoring. Two defeats to Plymouth without scoring. And then a point against Sheffield Wednesday. And then at least we did score at Hillsborough. But then that just shows the difference, doesn't it? And then Oxford, as you say, they are eighth currently. And we did pick up 3 points against them, but they're the highest placed team that we've beaten this season.
I'm going to refresh my stats because I lost it. Oh, yeah, that's better. Where did that come from? Yeah, I do know what's going on in the league. But it's the mad thing, isn't it? You know, playoff wise, you've got Rotherham, Plymouth, Wednesday, Wickham. Okay. Outside of those playoffs, these teams may not hit the playoffs. Sunderland, Oxford, Ipswich, Pompey, Bolton, Charlton. Yeah. It's ridiculous. They're not even. They are not even going to make the playoffs. Which, you know.
Oh, no.
And then next season, if you look at the bottom of the Championship, Derby County coming down, basket case. Peterborough, they won this league. Peterborough coming into this league. I don't know if you've watched much of the Championship side of it, but Peterborough have got a good team. And they will keep most of that, and they will probably come in and do what a lot of teams are doing now of the yo-yo.
Yeah, they'll be Rotherham, yeah.
You know, so, hey, look, if we stay in this division, it's not going to be any easier next season. But we talk about myths, I'm just saying, this division isn't as, people say it's not that strong. I think we're just trying to make excuses that we should be better than what we are.
If we are in this division next season, Stu.
Big if.
And it is a big if. But we've got positives to take out of this week. Before we get on to things like, as you mentioned there, the excellent goal we scored. Two excellent goals this week, actually. It was the real moment of quality from Ethan Chislett on Tuesday night. But a goal and assist for Zach Robinson as well, which you mustn't forget. But it is a big if. If. Sorry. We stay in this league next year. What have you made of Mark Bowen's approach to the two games? I was interested in your thoughts on the formation. We've sort of gone 5-3-2, 5-2-3, perhaps in an attacking shape, turning to a 3-4-3 potentially on Tuesday night. But
yeah,
do you think that was led by the personnel he had available, given we had a number of players unfit? Who weren't up for selection, especially on Tuesday? I'm thinking Hartigan, McCormick, Lee Brown, Cosgrove, all not available. Or is it a shape you think you'll stick with the idea of trying to keep us a little bit more solid and secure defensively?
Well, I think, you know, he was in a situation where he come in where we were on the back of, what, five straight defeats. So,
yeah,
even though you're coming into, what, a seven game league, as he said, which I is it a seven game? Yeah, seven game league. I get that, but if you're going to come in, you can't all of a sudden go to a team that hasn't won in 23 and lost the last five on a bounce. You can't say, well, we're going to go for a win now. That's madness, isn't it? You know, so you've got to come in and set a base, which is what he did. Yeah, it was a 3-5-2, but very quickly turned into a 5-3-2. And actually, the two wide players, if you looked at it, whenever they had the ball, they dropped in to cover the wide areas. So effectively make it like a I don't know, a 5-4-1 or even a 5-5-0. I know it sounds mad, but they did drop in, and we dropped, which we don't normally do. So we dropped into probably like a low block. So the gaps in between the lines weren't great. The three in midfield with Woodyard, Marsh and Jack Redoni playing to the wide of the three central only really engaged when he got to certain areas. It was interesting, you know, if you can go to Sheffield Wednesday's record at home is ridiculous, you know, very, very good. You know, as much as our home record is poor, theirs is very good at home. So I like the idea of us not trying to go and beat them. So I just think that would have turned into a nightmare. The early goal didn't do great, but we didn't really differ away from that. I liked it, if I'm being honest with you, because I think the reason I liked it is because if you're going to go away from home and keep losing points, it's silly. And you sort of in your head, you go, Cheltenham away, would we have conceded those three goals playing that way? Hypothetical, I know you can't, you know. But Sheffield Wednesday were finding it difficult to break us down. You know, they had the lad, Mendes Lang, wasn't it?
Rochdale
went to Cardiff, didn't he? I think he got,
that's right.
You know, we know he's a very good player. Like, for a winger, it's stupid. He's too tall. He's quick as anything. He couldn't really get behind us. He couldn't get around the back of us. So in the end, I think he come off, if I remember properly. And they changed it, didn't they? So I think for the game it was good, but I think he went there not to lose and to have a base to then come back to Plough Lane for the Charlton and Saturday's game.
Yeah, but I mean, Charlton, again, we set up very much exactly as you say there, exactly the same way. I have to pick up on this because, you know, Stu, I hate modern football.
Of course you do.
Low block is just a fancy way. I knew you were going to pick up on that. It's just a fancy way of saying parking the bus. It's just a fancy way of saying we kept men behind the ball, because that's what it is.
Well, parking the ball is literally like basically it's like a block, right? It ain't even called a high low. It's just block. Just get your But I think what I mean by that is, like, if you look at segments of the pitch, your low block is really sitting on the edge of the area, and then really blocking your lines, and then the mid block is. But I know what you're saying.
This is football, like. What's this? It's like Guardiola Klopp speak, you know, for what in the olden days it was just called. Yeah, they kept men behind the ball and they frustrated us, and that's what we did.
Do you know what expression I love the most at the moment, which I hear used, and I use it because you do when you I don't watch loads. The thing is, I don't watch loads of football as much as I used to, but I do watch. Like, I love Monday Night Football. I love the analysis of it and stuff like that because that tactically interests me. But the word I love at the moment is recycle. Love it.
Yeah, recycling.
Just love it. Recycling the ball, which basically means getting it, giving it to someone better than you.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You know, that's what recycling the ball. So Woodyard gets the ball, recycles it by passing it to Hartigan, who's playing, you know, whatever, keeping the ball. But I love this recycle. It's brilliant.
Well, do you know what? We've done a lot in the local area with Merton Council, and Hayden the Womble's posted on a lot of posters around the area about the importance of being environmentally conscious and recycling. But I think the team have taken that to heart far too much because we spent quite a lot of time this season recycling possession.
Well, yeah, normally it's out of our net.
Well,
is that a recycle?
That's how we're collecting all the rubbish, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You know, it's probably parking the bus on that. But I think, do you know what? And moving on to Tuesday night, yeah, I think he did keep it very similar. I don't think he was as... Yeah, if we're talking about a block, I don't think it was a low block, but it might have been a mid block in just coming out a bit more. But I still felt, he did say they were very passive, I agree with that. But I still feel in a way it's like, don't be out of the game before you know, get into a 100%. Game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's more what it was, you know. One thing we have changed, you know, away from formation is we don't want the ball. If you look at our possession stats up at Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was 70-30, or might have been more than that. I don't know what it was for, I don't think I actually did look for what it was for Charlton game.
It's
50-50. Actually, it's 50-50. It's got on the stats.
Yeah, but you'd expect that when we've played against 10 men for...
Yeah, I don't know if I've got it on this one as halves, but we don't really want the ball as much. I know it sounds silly, but, you know, ultimately, if we keep our shape, we can hit on a counter. So we have gone away from a possession-based style to really a case of keep your shape. We've also gone from, you know, we're not pressing in the numbers. We don't do a high press. Even to think we drop into positions. I think someone noticed that, you know, Woodyard isn't going around like a blue ass fly now. He's just sitting in a certain position and keeping the shape. So a lot's changed. I get it, but my concern, even today, before Tuesday, my concern was it's all right keeping it tight, but we need wins.
And I get it. I have no issue with it whatsoever. Because for all those reasons you said, Stuart, there is just a slight difference in approach. But Charlton, they had this first 15 minutes, but after that, they looked devoid of any idea of how to break us down. And that's what you want, isn't it? You want to say, and then as we've said, the individual errors then contribute to the goal. But aside from the goal, they literally didn't cause us any problems. And for a team with that quality in it, I think it says that the system and the shape work. The players have obviously taken on board and carried out the instructions that they've been given. Yeah. Yes, we got a bonus with the red card, potentially, possibly.
Unreal red card, but, by the way.
We'll talk about that in a second as well. But, you know, the only thing I'd say is there was a couple of occasions where, you're right, we don't do the high press. And what we did used to do was someone centre forward would go and press and we'd join in numbers. And there were a couple of occasions where Ayoub was pressing high, but there was no one backing him up. So he actually just took himself out of the game. And I guess that's just learning with the inexperience to give us as whatever, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because naturally, when you're changing your style, probably as drastically, it's a drastic difference, you're going to forget, aren't you? And you're going to, you know, and that's why you have pre-season a lot of time, isn't it, to do your formations of play and structure and, you know, and yeah, as you know, the old George Graham used to do, there's your line. Don't fail, you know. I think didn't George Graham used to do like a rope where they literally held onto it,
yeah.
So they would all move. You know, it's not as drastic as that now, but it is structured. So you're going to forget a few times. Watching back in the highlights, I knew Charlton had the chance, but I think Zach Robinson caught it right in the mush
in the head. Yeah,
yeah. Like he looked like he was a boxer just being punched on the top of the temple.
Or Vince McMahon taking a kick to the stomach at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I didn't even think that. But I didn't realise that the chance before that, we cleared off the line. I think Ben Hennigan just managed to get on the line and deflect. I didn't actually realise that was as close as what it was. I think once I didn't get the early goal, hey, look, if I'm being honest with you about Charlton, quality-wise, they should be a lot higher than what they are. There's obviously some reason for that. And if I'm being honest with you, I thought they were just going through the motions. There's probably a few players that are not going to be there at that club next season. Which makes it even more frustrating that we just didn't do enough to win that game, in my opinion.
Encouraging when we play the likes of Accrington on the last day, though, perhaps. The red card you mentioned there, bit of kung fu fighting on the halfway line. It's just, guys, come on, he's only been on the pitch 5 minutes. His substitute comes on. And he actually, do you know what? He starts really positively because he brings the ball out of the centre half position. You're thinking, okay, we're in trouble here because now everyone was backing off and there was space opening up. Takes an horrendous touch, awful touch. I thought Josh Parker was back playing for them. and then he just, it's almost, I can't figure out if he's just completely lost his head or he's frustrated because he's taken such an awful touch and he's panicked because he's now way out of position. I can't work out what he's done there, but You don't normally get clearer red cards as clear as that.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it opened up, didn't it? And he went through that. The pitch is very bobbly. You know, we were talking before how the pitch is in a real state at the moment.
Yeah, only in sunlight.
It did bobble. do you know what it made me think? I think it was one of those ones where, obviously, when you take a touch, you either make one decision, two decisions, or you either go for it or you back off. And it looked to me like it was like, oh, well, I can't back out because the lads are going to be like, well, come on, mate, get a challenge in. So once he's committed, he's committed. But crikey, like, it's the clearest red card you're going to see all day long. And thankfully, George Marsh realises it, and thankfully he sort of tries to ride it as much. And then it all kicks off, doesn't it? It all kicks off.
Yeah.
With that. Yeah. But, yeah, even, you know, their manager said, can't defend that. I don't think anybody could try and defend that if, you know, even, let's be fair, do you know what I mean? Even Arsene Wenger would have seen that. I don't know. Do you know what made me... In terms of, I always look at Charlton, I look at opposition players for just attitude sometimes. Like, you think he should be apologising to his teammates or just getting off the pitch as quick as he could. You know, you should be embarrassed and that you've actually done something so reckless. He didn't look that bothered.
You think he was trying to goad us into reacting to try and get someone...
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard that. But you're trying to goad... Jack Redoni, Aoban, all that lot in there. They can't be looking in the eye, can they?
I don't think he'd have had the time to be that calculating, to be honest with you.
No. But it's just the way he went off. It was just like a little bit of... Didn't even have his head down. I just look at body language sometimes like that. Because if it had been our player, I would have hoped they looked absolutely distraught. But, yeah. And when that happened, I thought, well, do you know what? You've basically put your teammates in the shit now, haven't you? But as we were saying before, I felt Charlton, there was 8 minutes injury time or additional time added on, but the dark arts, they killed that game, and it took us too long to get momentum.
Yeah, and I think as well, it probably didn't help us at the end of the day, to be honest with you, because at the time of the red card, I thought we were on top, we were pushing them back, we were getting corners, we were dominating territory. And it forced the red card forced them into a little bit of a change of shape. Obviously, a change of shape goes without saying. you know, change of approach. But again, I think, is there an argument that their strikers didn't do anything, but they kept two up top, and it just made sure that we didn't overcommit. And then, in fairness, in the end, we did put loads of numbers on, and it seemed like we had a front five. It seemed at one point it went to a four. I think Mark Bowen said it was a 4-4-2. It looked more to me like a 4-2-4. Pushing everyone forward, and then we do get deserved equaliser by the end of it. And I think it's Ethan Chislett. If you were to, I said on Twitter, on the podcast account, if you were to combine the quality of the level of his performances with how few minutes he's played in comparison to a lot of players this season, you'd put him in, if you extrapolate it, he's player of the year. Because every time he's come on, I thought this season he's looked excellent. I think he's looked really, really good. The goal is an outstanding cross. In fact, just before that, he'd come on and taken our set pieces, and he'd put in some good deliveries from those as well. Cross is outstanding. Zach does what a good striker does, right in front of the goal, he nods it in. But Chislett, but you know what, as well, Stu, you talk about young players, inexperience, mentality, and it's something that has been referenced, and I've mentioned it before. Decision-making, Chislett didn't have any time to think about it. It was instinctive. The challenge is coming in from, I can't remember who the player was that was trying to make the challenge, but there's only one thing you can do, which is just try and knock it past him and get the other side. Doesn't have to think. Straight away, just put the ball in the box. No thought. And then there are other occasions where, like you say, we have time to think and we just absolutely melt down. I think Ayoub, Doncaster on the opening day of the season, he scores his goal. Ball drops to him, doesn't have time to think. It's just instinctive, slots it away. Sheffield Wednesday, in on goal, one-on-one, time to think. Poor finish.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? Ethan Chislett's been a bit of a weird one because I remember I was lucky enough to see him early on last season when he came in, and I said to you a couple of times, yeah, if he plays in just behind the front two, bearing in mind we had Palmer and Piggott, I sort of said, you know, if he plays in that hole, he's good, he can pick a pass out. And he was involved in quite a lot in the early season. Coming into this season, he's not really had much of a look in, and maybe it was how we changed. We played one up top, and then it was a case of does Chislett come in for Ayoub early on. So I think it was trying to find a position for him. and got, and to the extent where I was like, will he get, you know, is he in a chart with a new contract? I'm sure his contract must be, you know, on the way out this season. I'm hoping he's just going to do enough, and definitely Mark Bowen has, you know, has said that in his Q&A release today, that, you know, he's done something. That's what, you know, Mark Bowen is going to put people in who take the opportunity, and he took the opportunity massively. And he's got that ability. He's got that ability. Someone made me chuckle, by the way. Someone said, yeah, but it weren't really a difficult chance for Zach Robinson. And I was like, but fast forward to the end of the game when Mabude puts the ball across and there's no one in the 6-yard area.
Exactly, yeah.
I was like, you know, Gary Lineker, showing my age here, but Gary Lineker didn't move away much from that area because he knew the ball's going to come there at some point. So I thought Zach was really good, to be honest with you as well. Let's not forget, he came in from Hampton and Richmond on loan. And he's coming against that. And I've been really impressed. I was so pleased he got his goal. So pleased. That would be good for him. But, yeah, do you know what? What annoys me, we just didn't shoot enough. I think there was a couple of examples when we had the ball in the box. And I think we took more touches in the box than the whole game. We just wouldn't shoot. Yeah. And so what frustrates me sometimes is, like, we want to score that perfect goal. But the amount of goals, if you watch Quest on a Saturday, the amount of goals that gets deflections, mm-hmm. nicks, goalkeeper doesn't hold it. We, you know, the best chances we created were around the outside of it, but there was times when we just need to get a shot off. Just get a shot off. Because they're defending in such numbers that, do you know what? It's got more chance of getting a ricochet. And then the keeper's in trouble after that, isn't it? So I think that was my frustration, because I think we had a lot of possession in the late, and just 8 minutes. I felt we just got the momentum a little bit too late. And just quickly before you come in, sorry, mate.
leave me in the lurch.
Oh no, just I'll see you later. I was disappointed with our loan players. I was really disappointed. Henry Lawrence really disappointed me. I don't normally highlight players, but you can play under 23s as much as you want, or in, you know, Premier League 2. But when it's points on the line, you've got to show a bit more than just ability. And I felt our youngsters showed up, our lone players, in terms of that desire. And that, you know, in a relegation fight, desire and heart and battle is a lot more than technical ability.
We will need more than just ability on Saturday. And I'll make another link to the game on Saturday when I say two of our loan players, obviously Lawrence from Chelsea and Mabude from Watford. They are two clubs in my top three most hated. And we obviously know who the third of that list is. But just we won't look in detail at the bottom six, because I realise we've got big games still to come after Saturday. We have Crewe obviously on Easter Friday, Good Friday. But as a point you just made earlier, just very quickly, Stu, look at the teams down the bottom. We are undefeated against the other five teams in the bottom six, which is the best record of anyone down there. We've got the second best record in terms of goals scored. We've scored 14 times in 8 games, which gives us the best goals per game ratio in a mini league. This is a mini league of the bottom six.
Yeah.
And the second best points per game. Fleetwood are top of that particular statistic. But we are the only unbeaten side against teams around us in the bottom six, and we still have to play Crewe and Fleetwood. So lots of talk, more and more talk about what next season is going to be like in terms of crowds and opposition and budgets in League Two. But this isn't over by an absolute mile yet. It's 4 points. I realise it's hard. Don't forget, Gillingham have still got to play Fleetwood, so they're going to take points off each other in there.
Yeah.
We just have to finish. We have to finish above two other teams. Because Doncaster and Crewe have gone.
Yeah. I don't think we'll catch Morecambe.
Do you not?
No. And the simple reason is Cole Stockton.
You've seen all season.
I don't see a team with a goal. What's he got? 20 odd goals now? He's got 21 goals. I would be amazed if a team goes down with a goal scorer in the 20s. You know, we proved it with Pigs last season. So I've always been convinced that they will not get relegated. Gillingham had to put playoff form to get, you know, a run of playoff form to keep out of being relegated. And they've still got to finish that off. You know, it's difficult to put that run of games and wins and points. It's mentally tiring, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I think they will still get relegated. I think the team we've got to keep within 2 points by the time we play them is Fleetwood. They're the team.
Yeah.
If we can go to Fleetwood on the penultimate game of the season within 2 points, I think the goal difference is a bit better than ours, yeah, minus 15. So we need to be within 2 points. We need to be in a situation where we are able to go there and winner takes all, because if we get, you know, if we can win at Fleetwood, and I don't think that's unrealistic, if I'm being honest with you, because Fleetwood would be under pressure. And no disrespect, but I think we will take a hell of a lot up to Fleetwood. And they don't get big crowds. It's not an intimidating place, is it? Let's be fair, Joe. I mean, it's basically greater. It's basically greater Blackpool, isn't it? On that side of it, and I think if we can go there and win, then we've got Accrington, who are not going to stand in our way at home, are they? Let's be fair. Full house at Plough Lane. They ain't going to want anything. They're going to be safe by then.
I actually don't think, and you know what, people call me crazy because I know what I'm about to say is gonna, people are gonna absolutely burst out laughing when I say this. I do not think it is out of the question that we have 5 games left and we win 4 of them. I don't think that's out of question. And I'll
I
tell you
wish.
why.
Go on.
I'll tell you why. Because Crewe. You tend to think the team that needs to get the result will get the result. All right.
Yeah.
Fleetwood, similarly, I saw nothing when we played them earlier in the season that suggests that we can't beat them. All right. And I think we've got the ability. Don't forget, we've also got McCormick coming back into the squad as well, who will be huge for us. Accrington, the last day of the season, that for me is a Fleetwood at home 2013 game. That's just, I just look at that fixture all day long and think, absolute perfect fixture that you want to have. And that leads us on to Saturday, when we host a team that are unbeaten in 14, but haven't lost away from home in 11, against a team that hasn't won in 22. I'm just saying, I can feel it coming. I can feel it coming.
I
And I
think.
think people are saying, and I know I talked about our record against the top five, and we haven't scored against, we've only scored against one of them so far this season. And people say Milton Keynes is a really, really tough game because they're really, really good and everything like that. But do you know what? Football doesn't work like that. And I just don't, I just have a funny feeling. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to spend too much time looking at Parrott, Issa, Twine, and Wickham in their squad sheet. I'm going to ignore that for the time being because that will ruin my confidence completely.
But does it though? Because, like, you know, just as I said, look at, you know, Wickham have got a really good attack. What I'm saying is in this league, is that any more special than what we faced away this season?
Yeah, but as I just said, it's. But as I just said to you, we've lost every time we've played a team in the top five, top four,
I get that.
we've lost without scoring. So, yes, it does worry me. It worries me greatly.
Do you know what? I've said all along, hey, look, sometimes I'm able to take the emotion out of it, and I'm not gonna say anything controversial here, but I've always been impressed with their academy and their identity. Now, don't their identity is fake, but what
In
I mean,
footballing terms, in terms of
yeah,
tactically and
but you know,
technically, yeah.
if you look at their teams, they play football, they play all the same way, and when they get into the first team, they play the same way, which we don't, and I think we should, and we were trying to get that way. But they're very confident on the ball, and they're technically very good players, which is why they sell for quite a lot of profit, you know. And they also get very good loans because of they know that, you know, these teams can go in there. So if you take the emotion away from it, it's a very tough game. But we all know this game is full of emotion. And in my opinion, I think this is a cup game. I know we're saying it's, you know, six, five cup games before the end of the season, but for them, it's going to be a cup game as well. And they're coming into Plough Lane for the first time. And this is double the size of the crowd that we had at King's Meadow. And it's not going to be a nice atmosphere. And that they're a very young, just as much as we're a young team, they're not far off it either. I think their probably average age is 24 or something. So we have to really, you know, the fans are going to be so important to make this atmosphere horrible intense, horrible, where Milton Keynes don't want to take a touch. Because, do you know what? Someone's going to come in behind them. Because it was interesting, Mark Bowen again was saying he likes the angry team. And I was like, oh, I don't know, because they make mistakes, angry teams. They play emotion. But this game's full of it. So, you know, so I think if this game was played in an empty stadium, as it was last year, I wouldn't
give it a chance. And it is every time we play at their place.
Yeah, I wouldn't give it a chance. But I'm with you on that. I'm with you. If we can, as fans, if we can make it as horrible for those players on pitch where they don't want to take a touch, where they actually, do you know what? We're so fired up, they don't want to be there. Don't want to be there. Like their fans. Then we've got a chance. We've just got to make it. We've got to make it an atmosphere that is horrible.
I chuckled a moment ago just because you said about their average age, and I was looking at Dean Lewington probably thinking, well, they must have a team full of 17-year-olds to have an average age of 24 if he's in there. But yeah, I mean, the problem we have is it is a bit of a one of those where, depending on which way it goes, I think if we win it, then you can't tell me we're not going to stay up come the end of the season. I think if we win this game, momentum will carry us. We'll stay up.
Massive.
If we lose it, this is a horrible. This is an absolutely the worst day. I just think for many reasons, we've already got the issue with not having their fans having to travel in on coaches and being bussed in with police and all that business. And I mean, in truth, I think we're looking at a really small, tiny handful of kids that are really going to cause any problems. They're going to be idiots. I think majority, if you were to probably look at their fan base, I don't think anyone's fearing a visit from their fans whatsoever. But you're going to get a few idiots.
Yeah.
And not keeping us. I don't know if Charlton on Tuesday night, I don't know if the police presence there was a trial run. I assumed it was. I know there was a little bit of an issue that got overplayed at London Bridge when we played them earlier in the season.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have needed the amount of police, especially at Earlsfield Station, that we saw on Tuesday. So I wonder if that was a little bit of a dry run. But they're going to have to do something because it does only take one person. It only takes one little incident. It can cause problems, and we really don't want to do that. Do you know what I must say though? I read a brilliant thing, and I think it was Peter Bowles. And if you're listening, Peter, thank you very much for this one. And I can't remember if you said it on Twitter or if it was actually on the Don's Trust Pro Boards thing. You made a great point. Milton Keynes will do anything to antagonise us. Their fans will do absolutely anything to wind us up and get a reaction from us, including carrying around flags and shirts and banners with the Wimbledon FC badge on it, claiming it's them. And Pete B made the great point. Home fans aren't allowed in the away end. So anyone carrying something with the old Wimbledon FC badge, our stewards should be all over it saying, well, that's the home team, so you can't be in here, so out you go, and kick them out. I think that's brilliant. It will never happen. But wouldn't it be great if it would?
No, let's be fair. Stuart's got enough trouble trying to get him through the gates in time. Tuesday night, Nick. You know, midweek games at Wimbledon are a nightmare. People were just... I know there's a bit of travel, you know, a bit of traffic and stuff. But for me, you know, we're going to be in there early, obviously, because, you know, we're doing 9 News TV, or, you know, we'll be involved in it. But I would just say get in early. Make it an atmosphere. If I go back to the last time we beat them at Kings Meadow with, you know, the 2-0 win, I'm sure you can remember it. The atmosphere was unreal. But everyone was in early, if you remember, do you know what I mean? And it just, as those teams come out, it was literally like, I've never seen an atmosphere like it. And when I think, well, actually, no, I have, because if I look back, you know, the first Bolton game, the atmosphere, when we scored the goal on Tuesday night, the place was absolutely rocking.
Mm.
But we need that at the start. So, you know, in a way, we need wound-up fans. Don't know how we do that. Play some dodgy music. I don't know. But you know what? We need our fans to be literally on boiling point. I know. We ain't going to be playing like the Nolans, you know, in a mood for dancing or something like that, do you know what I mean? Or Wickfield Saturday night. You know, that's not going to fire the music. That's not going to fire the team up.
No. But stick some Elton John on it, get me raging.
But what I mean by that, it needs to be at boiling point. Not over, but it needs to be literally from the first minute, they need to realise that actually I don't want to be here today. Like, have you seen? And that's what we need to do. And it's controlled, because we've never been, this is the first time they've been to our place, and we've got double the crowd that we had at Kings Meadow, and they probably got double the amount of fans in there on there. So, hey, look, you're right. I'm a bit more confident. Don't get me wrong, we were 1-0 down on Tuesday night. I'm like, I don't want to come on Saturday. Like, I seriously am trying to think, can I think of any excuse not to be here? We equalised and we finished the game in the right mindset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yes, we didn't win, but it felt like a win without getting 3 points, wasn't it? So, hey, look, we just got to go in there. And actually having a manager that has no connection whatsoever. And I noticed the way when he was asked about the fixture, he said, well, you know, we've got to play them. Loved it. He's been trained well already on that side of it. But maybe, you know, having someone that hasn't got that real big connection, but has been told about in a very quick time, can take the emotion out of it and go, right, these are your jobs. You know, because you can't argue that Neil Ardley, Gnodgers, they've all had emotion going into these games. It's been, in a way, a game they've dreaded. But I don't see that with Mark Bone.
Dare I ask for a prediction, Stu?
There'll be a game at Plough Lane on Saturday.
Brilliant. I'm just looking at the fixtures because they are currently second in the division. They beat Crewe on Tuesday night, but they only beat Crewe 2-1, which, to be honest with you, that's a defeat in my book. That's awful. They should be hammering them. If they want to get promoted out of this league, you need to be smashing Crewe.
Well, let's not say it's the defeat, because if we don't beat Crewe by more than that...
We're not trying to get promoted.
Well, yeah. I was going to say very quickly about Fleetwood, by the way. I don't know if you realise, but they actually have a midweek fixture before the last game of the season. And I think it's really important to realise there's some really horrible fixtures for the teams around us.
That's what I'm just trying to get up now, actually, to see Saturday's games.
Yeah, because we've done it on 9 years TV, and we've done the run-in because that's trying to give us some confidence. But, you know, Fleetwood's last two games after they play us. If we beat them at their place, they got Sheffield Wednesday at home, finish at Bolton.
Bolton's not too bad.
Yeah, but they're not at home.
Yeah, true. They're not at home. On Saturday, they are hosting Accrington. So, really, it could be a pivotal weekend this weekend. If we don't get anything and they do, that's a problem. Gillingham host Wickham. Gillingham might, the way Neil Harris goes about things, they might, and Wickham aren't exactly, they had a great win in the week away from home, but I can see them turning that into a bit of a war of attrition and sort of getting a point maybe out of that one.
It's not going to be pretty, and a ball ain't going to be in play much.
No, it's not going to be. It's not one for the neutral, is it? So, whereas Morecambe go away to Cambridge, and you just think
Morecambe are out of it. I'm confident of that. I've been confident for that for ages. I wouldn't, if I'm being truthful, I'm not looking at Morecambe's fixtures. I think it's basically Gillingham, Fleetwood that we probably need to finish above, to be fair, to stay up.
Yeah, and we're definitely finishing above Doncaster and Crewe, and they play each other in.
Fleetwood are the team, because you look at Fleetwood, I know they obviously beat Crewe, but if you look before that, they drew at home to Doncaster. So they've had them back-to-back, and then they drew against Lincoln, hit and miss at the moment, Lincoln. But, you know, before that, they lost 5 on the spin. So I just think Fleetwood, as a club, Fleetwood are not a big club. It's not an intimidating place to go. But they are under their own pressures, because the chairman there obviously doesn't have the money that he used to, and they're pretty similar to us. Go down, and they're not going to have a massive budget to compete in League Two, because this, you know, Salford have got a £4.5 million budget, and they're just about trying to get in the playoffs in League Two.
Let's hope we're not discussing Salford next season. On that note, Stu, that's probably gone way over. So we should wrap it up there. Thank you for joining me. If you're not a wrestling fan, stop listening.
Right, see ya.
Just going to mention mention it was WrestleMania this, because normally we have a little mention of WrestleMania. It's sort of become a little bit of a tradition on the podcast. It was fine. Oh, there you go. That's my review of it. It was fine. I had no reason to care. As soon as it finished, I had no reason to care about watching it ever again. So, that's that.
But it's a distraction from football, isn't it?
The star of WrestleMania this year, undoubtedly, was Liv Morgan. Just Google Liv Morgan WrestleMania and you will see why. That's it. Right, so Milton Keynes on Saturday. We shall have updates on Twitter, I guess, on Nine Wires Podcast, and we'll just see how it goes. And our final home Saturday, 3 o'clock of the season. So there you go.
Yeah, just to say, we've got Nine Years TV will be on. We're still, as we speak, we're still just sorting out the final. Let's be straight. It's not a normal fixture. We don't want to treat it as a normal TV thing, but we will be doing it. But I won't say it's not without challenges.
It is not a fixture that we particularly look forward to. But hey, come 5 o'clock on Saturday, it might be the fixture we are loving more than any other this season as we look to end 22 game streak without winning. Anyway, oh well. That's it. Thanks, Stu, for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 plus 2 equals 4. We shall speak to you again next week.